It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Ferret is back tomorrow. Coming up, this past weekend, Congress passed an omnibus spending bill, meaning it packaged a bunch of smaller bills into one vote. We'll unpack what's inside. First, President Obama announced a historic deal with Cuba today, paving the way for a resumption of diplomatic relations and the reopening of an American embassy in Havana. Here's a little bit of what the president had to say.
In the most significant changes in our policy in more than 50 years, we will end an outdated approach that for decades has failed to advance our interests, and instead, we will begin to normalize relations between our two countries. Through these changes, we intend to create more opportunities for the American and Cuban people and begin a new chapter among the nations of the Americas.
So what does the new chapter mean for both countries, and how close or far away are we from lifting an embargo that's divided the two countries for more than half a century? Here with us now is Jennifer McCoy. She's the director of the Americas Program at the Carter Center and professor of political science at Georgia State University. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, can you fill us in on what the president said about America's changing stance towards Cuba today?
Yes, this is really big news and welcome news to change a policy that really has not been effective for 50 years, that the U.S. has tried to isolate Cuba, but for about the last 40 years has been alone in its embargo, which means that a unilateral embargo, while others are trading with the country, is simply not effective. And obviously, it has not accomplished the change that U.S. law has put in place for 20 years to change the political regime in Cuba. So a major shift toward engagement is a big shift in policy that I think will be more productive, because it gives both American citizens and Cuban citizens more opportunity to travel, to exchange, to debate ideas, and it helps to empower Cubans themselves to make the changes that they want to make in their own country.
Why did the president make this announcement today? Why now?
Well, the obstacle to a major obstacle to improving relations with Cuba had been the imprisonment of an American contractor, Alan Gross. He had been imprisoned in Cuba for bringing in satellite equipment that is illegal in Cuba, and had been there for 5 years. His health was deteriorating, and I think both sides really wanted to resolve that issue and not to let it go too far. In addition, the Cubans had been demanding for many years the release of three, originally five, Cuban agents who had been imprisoned in U.S. prison for 16 years for spying within the U.S. They had been here spying actually on Cuban Americans who they felt were threatening Cuba. So in the end, the deal was to release Alan Gross, the American contractor, on humanitarian grounds, and to make an exchange of intelligence agents between Cuba and the United States, so that the three Cuban spies were released back to Cuba, and an American intelligence agent who'd apparently been imprisoned and most people didn't know about for 20 years in Cuba was returned to the United States. So that satisfied some needs on both sides and opened the way to move toward a more normal diplomatic relation, where both countries now can talk about concrete issues that are of interest to both sides, like immigration, like containing any potential contaminants from oil drilling, oil spills, cooperation on counterterrorism and counter-narcotics, so climate change, so a host of things.
What do we know about the role of the Castro regime in all of this and how that relationship has evolved over the years?
Well, when Raul Castro took over, when his brother Fidel fell ill in 2008, Raul Castro took over and so has been president for some time. He did begin some changes, primarily economic opening, so that Cubans now, some half million Cubans, have the ability to own their own businesses. As well, he lifted travel restrictions on Cubans. So Cubans can now, including dissidents and those who are opposed to his regime and speak out against him, now have much freer ability to travel outside the country. He also did one important political change in that he put term limits on his own presidency, which should end by 2018, and on all officials. Now, there are no free elections in Cuba. There's no competitive election or choice. But the fact of putting term limits on means that there's a transition, a generational transition, so that those who, like Fidel and Raul in their 80s, who led the revolution in 1959 and who had been leading the country, will be passing it on to a new generation. And he's incorporated new generations in the governing structure in the Council of State. So there is some important movement there, though, of course, we're still not talking about an open democracy.
Now, this announcement, it doesn't mean that everything has been resolved between the two countries, including trade. What are some of the sticking points that are still there?
Well, the U.S. still does have an embargo on Cuba, and that is the president does not have the authority to lift that embargo on his own. That authority moved from the presidency when it was first enacted in 1961 to the Congress in 1996 under the Helms-Burton Law signed by Bill Clinton, which gives the Congress the authority and the control over the trade embargo. So it will take congressional action to completely lift that embargo. What President Obama announced today are the things that he can do with presidential authority, which is relaxing travel restrictions on American citizens. Cuba is the only country that the U.S. itself restricts American citizens from traveling to. And so he's going to relax that. He's going to relax the amount of remittances that Cuban Americans can send to Cuba. He's going to relax some sort of loopholes in the embargo that allow some trade. And, you know, really public opinion and the private sector have been asking for these changes for quite some time. So I think they'll be welcomed by the majority of the American public.
So, as you said, Congress needs to take action as far as lifting the embargo goes, but some prominent lawmakers are already speaking out against doing that, some saying that we actually need to be strengthening the embargo instead. Do you have a sense of how sticky this point could become for Congress?
I think it will definitely be sticky. It's not going to be easy. These are the same voices that have pushed for 50 years to have a policy of isolation. The momentum is toward change. Public opinion, even within Cuban Americans in Florida, now favors lifting the embargo. Within the hemisphere, within the world, we are the only country with an embargo. And this has been a sticking point in better relations between the United States and the rest of this hemisphere. So I think that movement will definitely help. But the momentum is toward change. And I think the Congress will eventually come along, but it's not going to be immediate.
Well, going forward, you know, when it comes to talks over diplomatic relations between two countries who have this kind of history behind them, look at the Cuban Missile Crisis, for instance, it's been 50 years. How do you begin?
Well, you begin as we've already begun, first with citizen-to-citizen exchanges and travel. Student exchanges, academic exchanges, scientific, medical exchanges, but also with concrete, you know, talks between the governments on concrete issues. These have already been going on at low levels. We do have interest sections, which is something lower than an embassy in each country. So there are diplomats in representing each country in the other. And we've had low-level talks having to deal with concrete things like immigration and how many Cubans will be allowed visas to come into the United States. How many will the United States accept, for example, and trying to resolve issues of Cubans risking their lives coming over on rafts and small boats. Other issues, as I said, there's been a great interest as Cuba has been exploring to drill oil in the ocean, a great interest in making sure that they have the capacity, if that were to result in anything, to also contain any environmental impact of that and the capacity to respond to oil spills and that kind of thing. So there are very concrete issues to deal with. And then, of course, the issues of human rights and democracy should be kept on the horizon, on the agenda, and certainly should not be ignored. But empowering Cubans, for example, with greater communication capacity, which President Obama also announced today, facilitating the internet, facilitating fiber optic cables, for example, to the island, or telephone connections. These have been blocked by the United States, and so that hurts Cubans from being able to communicate with the outside world. So this will be a big step forward as well.
Jennifer, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
We've been speaking with Jennifer McCoy. She's the director of the Americas Program at the Carter Center and professor of political science at Georgia State University.